You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. I want to tell you about a great new podcast called Outside the Box. If you're a maker, an innovator, or even just a consumer who wants to peek behind the curtain of some of the world's greatest organizations, you'll love it. The latest episode features interviews with the visionaries who are creating systems that bring our work, and more importantly, our workforce, into the 21st century. Because although we're plugged in at home, when it comes to the workforce, we're lagging behind. Listen to Outside the Box in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now, enjoy the show. Hi, I'm Ben Mathis, and welcome to Kick-Ass News. When I first heard about Amazon's new series, Comrade Detective, I knew two things. I had to watch it, and I had to invite the brains behind the show on the podcast. The idea behind Comrade Detective is that it was a popular police drama on Romanian TV in the 1980s that disguised communist nationalist propaganda and socialist ideals as entertainment for the masses. After the fall of the Berlin Wall, Comrade Detective was thought to be lost to history until actor Channing Tatum sought out the missing footage, dubbed it with the voices of American actors, and presented the TV series to Western audiences for the first time. However, in reality, Comrade Detective is the hilarious brainchild of writers Brian Gatewood and Alessandro Tanaka, who previously created, wrote, and produced the NBC comedy Animal Practice and write for the Showtime series Dice. They teamed up with the brilliant comedy director Rhys Thomas, who directs the ridiculously smart series Documentary Now on IFC, and previously directed comedy segments for Saturday Night Live. Together, they recreated Cold War-era Romania and a cop show that serves as a not-so-subtle vehicle for anachronistic 80s communist propaganda. They then lured an all-star cast that includes Channing Tatum, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Nick Offerman, Chloe Sevigny, Daniel Craig, and other celebrities to dub the show in English with the driest hint of absurdity. If you're the kind of person who craves smart, offbeat comedies like Portlandia, Fargo, or Flight of the Conchords, then I promise you're going to love Comrade Detective. And today, the creators and writers, Brian Gatewood and Alessandro Tanaka, and the director Rhys Thomas join me on the podcast to discuss the 80s cop shows and a popular Czech TV series that inspired Comrade Detective. They talk about some of the difficulties they encountered recreating Soviet-era Bucharest for television, why graffiti was such a problem, and how they worked with their Romanian cast and crew, including one very foul-mouthed translator. Plus, how they landed a spectacular cast of American stars to dub Comrade Detective, and a warning about buying into blind ideology that's just as applicable today as it was in the days of the Cold War. Coming up with the creators and director of Amazon's Comrade Detective in just a moment. Today I'm talking with the creators of the new Amazon series Comrade Detective, Brian Gatewood and Alessandro Tanaka, along with the show's director, Rhys Thomas. Guys, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I love this show more than I can possibly say, but I have to tell you, I struggle to adequately explain just what Comrade Detective is. So let me just ask you guys this. When you approached Amazon with this idea for a TV series, what was your pitch?
We didn't approach them. That's basically okay. I don't think there's any way that you could have really have pitched the show.
Yeah.
What we did was we went to Romania and we shot the entire series on spec.
Wow.
And with A24.
With A24 financing it. And then by that point, sort of it had gone on Amazon's radar and mm-hmm. they read a couple of scripts and then they just bought it.
Okay. So and A24 was the production company that made it.
Yes.
What was your pitch to them then? At some point you guys had to sing for your supper and get the money to make this. How did you explain this show to them?
Our pitch originally was the idea of finding or creating a series from behind the Iron Curtain that was the inverse of sort of television and cinema that was propaganda towards American audiences and the stuff we watched growing up as a kid. And as we looked into some of these shows from behind the Iron Curtain, it was, 30 Cases of Major Zeman, which is an old Czechoslovakian show made to prop up the Communist Party. And he's sort of like the communist James Bond. And so our question kind of became in the pitch, just what was Ivan watching while we were watching Red Dawn and Rocky IV and Rambo 3? And that was the jumping off point. And we had A24 on board and Channing, and then we were lucky enough to get Reese on board as well. And we all developed it and made it on spec.
So you're saying that there were actual scripted series like Comrade Detective on Eastern European television during the Cold War? When you were researching,
I don't know if there was anything quite like yeah. Comrade Detective, whereas we took an approach of applying, Hollywood filmmaking of the 70s and 80s and sort of imposed that from a communist or Soviet perspective. But there were instances of that. And we came across a PBS documentary from the mid 80s that There was a university in Minnesota that intercepted Soviet satellite and would just watch everything on it and do a weekly report on it. And it was fascinating. It was sort of this parallel universe that, as a kid growing up, you're never aware of. You're just sort of taught to think that, the Soviets are godless, terrible, evil people. That never smile.
Yeah.
That make fabulous villains for entertainment. But, you never really think about the people or
the truth is, as well as when you watch it, that the Soviets were actually way more subtle about their propaganda than
yes.
the Americans were.
Really?
Yeah, they were, sort of, if you really try and trace something where there's a genuine American enemy, it doesn't really crop up as much. And apparently, again, this is just sort of from some sort of cursory reading into it, but, really Soviet propaganda sort of focused more on celebrating sort of, victories, like the victory over the Nazis, I think was sort of the big one keep revisiting. And, most of the sort of the big Soviet filmmakers, the sort of their classic films are all, none of them are generally set in the present. They're usually sort of, telling tales of days gone by. And apparently sort of reason for it is that they never really, didn't really sort of want to see the Americans, they want to sort of celebrate it as a genuine threat because they ultimately saw American society as a sort of crumbling, world of crime and disease. It's not a worthy adversary at all.
Yeah. In this show, their image of America is that, basically New York City is all prostitutes and perverts and crime, and everyone is starving and drinking puddle water. Well, it does follow a lot of the conventions of the typical kind of American buddy detective show, police procedural TV shows of the 80s. Did you guys also find yourself going back to those shows like maybe Miami Vice, Hardcastle and McCormick, Cagney and Lacey?
Yeah, I mean, Miami Vice was definitely one of the things that we rewatched. We also watched a lot of films. So it's like, 48 Hours,
Lethal
cop
Weapon.
Shows like that, Lethal Weapon, buddy cop movies. Yeah.
I think somewhere I read that Brian and Alessandro were actually inspired by the original, I think it was Woody Allen's first movie, What's Up, Tiger Lily. Are you two big Woody Allen fans?
Huge Woody Allen fans. And yeah, that was sort of a jumping off point. I was thinking about that film and then how could we try something like that in television, which, you know, television has expanded to a really, you know, fun and adventurous place. But we ended up taking a different route once we looked into sort of, you know, global cinema and then the idea of just making our, you know, our own retro fitted show.
Like we were never going to be able to find something that was already made that we could then just dub over. Like,
like
the only way to do it was to make it because it didn't exist, you know?
And another thing is that a lot of the shows, if you look at global television, the shows are good, you know, you don't really want to mess with them. There's a great German show, Tort. There's La Piovra from Italy. And even the 30 Cases of Major Zeman is a well-done show. So, you know, we kind of veered away from the bad filmmaking angle and tried to represent something that – or make something that was more representational of actual global television or cinema.
Yeah, because this is presented as what would have been – a real show, a real scripted series that you might have found behind the Iron Curtain. It looks like you basically recreated everything and played it straight with the actors and everything. And then the only humor comes in the dubbing when you go back into post. That's when you kind of layer in the humor. But you can watch it and also appreciate it for a pretty good kind of police procedural type show. I started buying into it on that level as well.
Great to hear, because that was our intent.
Yeah, we sort of, early on, I think when I was, pitched it, your sort of mind goes, when it's presented as this sort of Romanian, answer to Miami Vice, automatically I sort of realized as I was telling people about it, they would assume that it was a celebration of sort of, you know, retro 80s filmmaking, you know, synthy and all that kind of, you know, all those sort of cliches. And to me, it just felt like that could get exhausting after, you know, if you've been in it 10 minutes, it's badly dubbed, you know, all those things. It's like, okay, well, what is it? So we sort of, in talking about it early on, we sort of all decided like, well, let's also make sure that there's a narrative here that you know, once you've gotten past the conceit, that you'll stay with it and take it through to the end.
Just to give listeners a little bit of an idea without giving too much, the tone of the kind of the propagandized dialogue in Comrade Detective. For instance, the police captain says something along the lines of, "The murderer must not be Romanian because crime is not part of our national character." And they wax about the impeccable state health care system in Romania and the Romanian justice system, saying, why would a suspect run unless they were guilty? My favorite, I think, is they talk about Americans having to struggle to the point of starting their own businesses. You don't just mock American culture and capitalism, but you also take on Christianity because, of course, religion was banned under communism. And I love how you have this Catholic priest who's voiced over by the great Daniel Craig, who's brilliant in this. And the Soviet portrayal of the Catholic Mass is like a scene out of Rosemary's Baby. It's like some kind of satanic ritual. Was it scripted in English beforehand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, these guys wrote the whole thing in English. And then we went to Romania and worked with a Romanian translator to flip the whole thing. Which in itself was an interesting process because apparently he had a real propensity for foul language.
He put his own flourishes on it.
Yeah. Really? So there were a lot of pull-ups on set of an actor walking over and saying, you really want me to say this? This is really crude. I mean, I feel like that's not what the scene's about. And you'd be like, wait a second, tell me what it is. And it would be the most crazy shift of meaning. But no, so it existed that way. But the whole goal, I think, with the show is that we obviously the Romanian – we wanted the Romanian document to exist. It's not – you know, the show, it's exactly – the language, the script is the same in Romanian. So, you know, in a perfect world, you could flip the audio track and it works both ways. Obviously, the American actors bring, different character traits to things. But the dialogue's not really been messed with that much.
It's generally the same. We just encourage everybody to keep it within the intent of a scene. Mm-hmm. And if an actor wanted to change something, that was fine. And great in many instances.
Sometimes what was interesting about the dubbing process is at first we thought that even if the lips don't match, it doesn't matter. But then we realized
that looks authentic then.
Right. And like, yeah. like it's like those old Kung Fu movies that we used mm-hmm. to, you know, in Saturday, Sunday afternoons yeah. or whatever. But then we realized that it actually, because everything is played straight and because it's kind of serious, it actually takes you out of it a little bit. So then we had to figure out how to match the dialogue to the lips. And okay. in that case, then we were shifting around dialogue a little bit or changing, tweaking things here and there.
Okay. And now, were the Romanian cast and crew in on the joke, or did they take this totally seriously?
No, they, oh, yeah. No, they were.
They knew exactly.
Okay.
I mean, we approached, we approached them, and we were obviously didn't quite know what to expect and if they would or how they would take it. But they welcomed us really with open arms, and the cast and crew were amazing and seemed to really enjoy the experience. And in fact, we hadn't finished writing it when we got to Romania, and so we allowed, you know, many of the conversations we had with Romanians and just sort of taking in the culture and the people and apply that to the script, to the characters, to the overall project.
And we should say that this will be shown in Romanian.
Romania. Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it works in Romania. Like it's a totally works in Romanian.
Okay.
Yeah, but they fully, you know, again, there was sort of an energy of the fact that a lot of the films that had been made about that time period or about the regime generally had a bleak outlook and a bleak presentation of society. Yeah. And so the overall feeling that we, you know, that most of the actors and the crew sort of brought to it was they were enjoying the fact that we were looking at it with some humor and sort of, you know, felt like now was a good time to
really?
Do that.
So you didn't encounter any Romanians who felt that, you know, hey, this isn't very funny. My dad got tortured by the secret police back then.
No, it was quite the opposite, actually.
Really?
People were like,
they were comfortable with making fun of it.
Happy with it.
Well, also because it's not about, you know, so much Romania or America. It's really, mm-hmm. Satirizing propaganda.
Right.
And governments more than people. And I think that they understood that right away and embrace that. So, you know, coming from America, you definitely, you know, feel a sense of you're never quite sure how foreigners are going to perceive you.
Yeah.
But they understood that we were, you know, also having fun with ourselves.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was, mm-hmm. I think, important, was knowing that, you know, this was...
Yeah, I think we mock Americans
more,
probably more than we do the Romanians, and
yeah,
and obviously the characters, the fun about them is that they you know, there's a sort of blind faith almost in authoritarianism and a sort of acceptance yeah. of its mm-hmm. of its methods, but you know, I think because it's delivered so straight and that's sort of the mm-hmm. engine of the show, that in you know the humor of that blind faith is what's, you know, sort of really fun. And again, if you look at American cinema, especially the 80s, but you know, even going back sort of 40 years, you know, that same blind faith is utterly present, just yeah. on the reverse.
So you do kind of get a little bit of poking fun at the American propaganda as well, and the 80s culture of women wearing shoulder pads and the excess and mm. everyone's on cocaine and they think everyone has AIDS in America.
Right. Yes.
Which that came straight from our experiences with Romanians.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had a number of people tell us that growing up in the 80s, they fully believed that if you touched an American, you could get AIDS. And
wow.
We heard one story of a guy we worked with said that he would watch the train come into the station, and he would get nervous as a kid seeing people come off and being worried about catching diseases from Westerners.
Wow. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more with the creators and director of the Amazon TV series Comrade Detective when we come back in just a moment. HelloFresh is on a mission to save home cooking. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. They source the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste, and they even employ 2 full-time registered dietitians on staff who review each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced. I've started making meals from HelloFresh, and let me tell you, the ingredients always arrive fresh in an insulated, recyclable box. Everything comes perfectly portioned out, and the recipes are quick and easy to follow, so even an amateur like me can put together a great home-cooked meal in no time. And most importantly, HelloFresh's meals taste great. So great, in fact, that when Mother's Day rolled around this year, I ordered HelloFresh for my mom, and now she's hooked as well. HelloFresh is now offering light summer meals and has just introduced breakfast options, delicious ingredients you'll love to eat, simple recipes you'll live to cook. So get cooking and do it for less than $10 a meal. For $30 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter KICK30 when you subscribe. Again, that's HelloFresh.com and enter KICK30. Hey guys, do you hate shopping for clothes? Well, now there's an easier way to get better clothes, Bombfell. Bombfell is an online personal styling service that helps men find the right clothes for them. And unlike other services, there are no fees to work with them, so it costs nothing to sign up. It's simple and straightforward. All you have to do is complete a questionnaire, and a dedicated personal stylist will handpick pieces specially for you. Then, once you've viewed your selections, you'll have 48 hours to make any changes or even cancel altogether. You're in total control, and you only pay for the clothes you keep. Plus, you have the option of receiving clothes once every 1, 2, or 3 months because Bombfell is on your side, and they don't make money if you don't find something you want to keep. I just got my first order from Bombfell. I gave my stylist my measurements and answered just a few questions about my style and what I like. He came back to me with a hand-picked outfit just for me. My stylist selected a beautiful sports jacket made out of high-quality linen, perfect for the summer, along with a button-down and a polo shirt that go great with my new jacket or on their own. I was able to change the color if I want, and if I'm ever not in love with the selection, I just say so and my stylist comes back to me with a totally new selection. And these weren't some weird off-brand items. We're talking quality, fashionable clothes that fits great. Plus, it was easy and fast, and I didn't have to waste a lot of time in a store. I love good clothes, and that's why I really love Bombfell. Best of all, I've negotiated with Bombfell to get my listeners a special offer of $25 off your first purchase when you go to bombfell.com/kick. That's Bombfell, spelled bombfell.com/kick. And now, back to the show. Now, I mean, I'm looking around the table here, and I'm assuming that you guys are too young to have remembered the Cold War, the Reagan era, much less visited behind the Iron Curtain, right?
Well, we never visited while it was there, but, I mean, my early childhood experiences or memories, I should say, are steeped in you know, this very rah-rah America that was really distinct to the 80s. I think it's carried through, and I think that it's still present. But you know, I mean, I loved action films growing up. But you know, I remember being a kid going around yelling Wolverines from Red Dawn, you know, and shouting it and running around. And
who are you yelling at?
whoever was playing the Soviet in this game where we were, you know. But yeah, we would yell, you know, Wolverines and I mean, Rocky was like an idol, and
right.
Rocky IV is the one that did it for me. Like,
yeah,
gonna go fight that Russian.
Yeah,
and like,
Ivan Drago.
Yeah. And you know, the best part of it is that, like, if you go back and watch it, like, Ivan Drago has like the top, like the best kind of medical equipment and workout equipment. It's all computers and like digital. And
then, whole team,
you know,
yeah.
And then Rocky's just like working out in like the woods, yeah. Like by himself. You know what I mean? Like, just rugged American.
It's a crazy celebration of individualism. Yeah. If you watch the training montage in that, is so crazy. Because it is. It's literally just like, don't trust the state. It's all about you, the individual. You know, like, and that's the, it's so blatantly just, insane.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think just about a week ago, I had a guy on who has a documentary on Netflix called Icarus that's all about the Russian doping scandal and how since 1968, basically every athlete in Russia was doped up.
Wow.
Well, you know, I'm curious about the look of the film because it seems very authentic and it looks like what the Eastern Bloc looked like back then. I mean, when I was a kid, I think I was a freshman in high school, I went on a people-to-people tour of Russia and Eastern Europe, and I can still remember, especially going from West Berlin to East Berlin, it was like that moment in Wizard of Oz when Dorothy leaves, you know, the technicolor of Oz and then wakes up suddenly back in black and white, drab little Kansas. I mean, it was just so gray, so sterile, and so joyless, and you guys seem to capture that pretty well, I think, from what I can tell.
I mean, again, I don't think the goal was not to obviously make it utterly drab, but
but to capture what Soviet
dialing into that period and early sort of before we got into production and, you know, sort of at a concept stage, this was not specifically Romania. The script was essentially just an Eastern Bloc kind of story, and so I went and scouted Budapest and Sofia as well. Sort of in the space of a week, went to all three cities and got a sense of the different flavors of communism in each place. And also, obviously, each one has a sort of particular aesthetic quality. And the thing about Bucharest that was really interesting is that it still has the character of an old European city. There's still parts of it that you could be in Paris or Madrid. But it's always sort of pockmarked by these sort of, you know, brutalist, sort of more functional communist, you know, era buildings. And part of that is because they had a sort of big earthquake in 78 and Ceausescu sort of used that as a big excuse to sort of really push out, you know, his building program and just knock down lots of swaths.
Oh, interesting.
Whereas, you know, Budapest, you know, it's a very sort of classical, very, you know, beautiful city, sort of the center of it. And, you know, it's got it does have the remnants of, you know, and it's sort of block housing and all that kind of stuff. But you kind of, I feel like you'd be forcing that onto the city versus it sort of naturally being prevalent. And similarly with Sofia in Bulgaria. So there was I liked Bucharest because it sort of walked the line of that you could still have a sort of European charm to it and it would feel different and you wouldn't be fully imbued with this sort of sense of oppressive, you know, form. But yet it was still there as a texture. So.
Yeah, because I imagine that a lot of places in Europe have removed that kind of imposing, concrete, industrialized type of architecture from the Soviet era.
It's still there. I mean, even in the UK, there's plenty of apartment buildings that clearly used the same, I think, East German prefab contractors to build them. You know, it's the thing, visually, there were stretches where I was like, oh, I could be, back home in some spots. But, it's there. Like Bucharest, you know, again, it's shifting and it's beautiful in places, but you know, housing is housing. And
when you guys set out to do this, I wonder why you didn't use the heart of the Soviet Union, Russia. Was that just a logistical nightmare in terms of locations, or what?
Probably. It also maybe felt super on the nose. So like Reese was saying, we looked at some of the other Soviet states, some of the satellite states, and we just thought that was a little bit more of an off-kilter look at.
Now, I also read that you had to spend a lot of time in post digitally removing all the graffiti in Bucharest.
Yeah.
Because I guess back then there was no graffiti. That was probably punishable by death or something.
Yeah, no, the thing
in those days.
It was a very, you know, functional society and crime. You know, Bucharest is still one of the safest cities in Europe. And a lot of people sort of just credit it, the sort of psychology of just, you know, sort of playing by the rules there. So, but graffiti, I think it's one of the first impressions you get sort of driving into the city is just every wall that's within arm's length is covered with graffiti, yeah. and it's not really that designy graffiti that you sort of see around, mm-hmm. Sort of Brooklyn and LA.
Yeah, like the Berlin Wall look.
Yeah, it's a bit more just personal signatures and sort of random statements of Sally and Jeff love each other forever stuff. And it was a lot of like trying to shoot and cover things up with set dressing, and then but we could only go so far. And and also AC units. They've got these window AC units everywhere now that were also a nightmare to try and keep hiding. Yeah. So, we had there's one of our young, intrepid post PAs had literally just spent months by himself just going through and cleaning up every shot.
Because I guess back in the old days, there probably wouldn't have been much graffiti. That probably wasn't a misdemeanor like it is here, because that's free speech.
Right.
It's not just trashing a building.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the thing. I mean, everyone had to have a job. And, you could get thrown in jail if you didn't have a job.
Yeah.
And so that speaks to, graffiti was definitely probably, again, I'm not 100% on the law around graffiti during Ceausescu's years, but I'm pretty confident saying that it would have been allowed.
Yeah, Ceausescu wasn't the most tolerant guy.
I wouldn't say he was a patron of street art.
Rapscallions and tomfoolery. Okay. Well, the cast for this show, I have to mention that. Incredible. You have Channing Tatum, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Nick Offerman, Chloe Sevigny, and a million incredible cameos. I already mentioned Daniel Craig. You have some great surprises in it for the viewers. How did you get all these stars to sign on to this show?
Well, having Channing obviously helps. And then, what was fortuitous for us is that we had to make the Romanian show first. So we had something to show them.
Oh, okay.
We would send the actor an episode or episodes with their parts. And, I think it was just sort of a fun experimental challenge or exercise for them to come in and join in the fun that we were having in the booth. So we just got very lucky, and we tried to reach out to both dramatic and comedic actors and try to find a balance so that the show didn't go too far one way or the other, to try and hit that balance of drama and comedy.
Yeah.
Now, Craig doing a Welsh accent, I might add.
That was? Well, yeah, you're a Welshman, Reese. You did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Not prompted by me. He just started doing it. And I was like, well, hang on a second. Are you doing a Welsh accent? And and it was like silence, like, yes. I guess he'd always had a desire to do Richard Burton. His grandparents or grandmother was Welsh. He felt very just. And it was amazing. It's a very good accent, too. I wouldn't say.
Isn't he Scottish? Or where is he from?
I forget.
Oh, he's English. Okay.
I mean, mate, I have no idea what his ancestry is, but it's definitely a bit of Welsh in there. So we'll happily claim him.
And I have to also mention the marketing campaign, because based on what I've seen of the advertising, it looks like you guys are playing the marketing campaign straight. Are you hoping that you can Blair Witch some viewers and maybe get them to buy into the whole premise that this is a lost Romanian TV show?
Yeah, it's tough in this world, with the internet, obviously, and social media. It's hard to do that, but Reese is always looking for that one person with the
it's cool. It's like documentary now as well. Like I think I like things that don't sell themselves. What I mean? I mean, obviously, if we'd committed hard to the fact that this was an original 80s thing that just been overdubbed, probably nobody would watch it. So we have to own a little bit of the fact that it was made. But if we didn't have to worry about viewers, then I would go hard after it. For a longest time, we wanted to commit to the conceit that Channing was actually in the show as a child, like that he is Joseph's young son. And that was his connection to the show. And we wrote a whole backstory. We had it all figured out. I think we all kind of chickened out that it was too much.
It was very close to the release.
Yeah. But he voices one of the detectives, and he also presents the show if it's some kind of archival footage, some found footage. And you also have John Ronson presenting it.
It's
great.
Another show that needs someone to explain it. John Ronson was the sort of legitimizing force.
Yeah, but he also gets that kind of dry humor for sure.
Oh, he's amazing.
The men of Staregoats and stuff.
Yeah, no, he was the best. And he really was into the conceit of of selling the reality of this thing.
Yeah, and Reese, you mentioned Documentary Now. I'm a huge Documentary Now fan. Are we going to get a third season, do you think?
Yes.
Okay.
When? I don't know. Next year is what we're talking about. But yes, it's there.
Yeah.
It's aligning everyone's schedules is a ridiculous
I'm sure.
Jigsaw puzzle. But yeah, we're all
Bill.
Confident. We all want to do it.
Any idea on what documentaries you guys might spoof next time?
No. We really do. I mean, and again, it's. I'm not dodging the question. We really do basically wait until we all get together in a room for a week and in that week, that's where the commitment to what we're going to do comes up.
Yeah. Well, big fan of that and big fan of this show. Before we go, you know, I don't know if this was intentional on your part. I don't want to read too much into this, but I wonder if there's a way to see this show, Comrade Detective, as a little bit of a warning about what happens when people close their minds to differing ideologies and stop questioning the party line, whether it's mandated by the state, as in Comrade Detective, or as we see today with people just siloing themselves into their own little political echo chambers on social media and just completely regurgitating talking points without doing a little bit of critical thinking.
Yeah. Obviously our first mode of business was to entertain people and hopefully tell them a fun, interesting story. It's definitely something that we hope that people walk away from thinking a little bit more about propaganda and sort of rigid ideology and how absurd the end game of all that is. We definitely hope that people think a little bit about some of the ideology that they follow or...
And also how you can reframe something that's completely innocuous and turn it evil. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the whole thing, like a monopoly suddenly becomes like the game Monopoly becomes the most like diabolical thing ever just by reframing it. You know what I mean?
I mean, we talked a lot about how interesting it is, how good, American cinema and film has been at demonizing the other. And, and we wanted to see what that would look like from the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely a part of the conceit of the whole show. And I think it's just a fascinating exercise.
The timing wasn't intentional. I mean, Trump was elected. The day of the election was our second day of shooting.
Yeah.
The election was obviously happening. So it was definitely informed a part of it. But it kind of, I remember sort of feeling like it was focused things for us because we were in it. And it focused things for the Romanians too. I think everybody kind of got a little more determined.
Yeah, they were very upset.
Really?
Yeah, the election morning because, they've felt protection from the United States in a buffer against Russia was constantly encroaching on them. So the joke around set for the Romanians was on that day was, well, we should all start learning how to speak Russian. They were a little, they were upset about it, actually.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, a guy who isn't so sure he wants to go along with NATO anymore. So,
exactly.
That's probably upsetting to a few Romanians.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I don't want to oversell this, but you do throw in a line or two referencing 1980s Donald Trump. Was that thrown in before the election or afterwards?
No, that was written while we were writing it before the election. He was running for president at the time, but whether he had won or not, he's a great sort of symbol of that 80s excess.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a caricature of it. He always has been.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a caricature of a president now.
Yeah. Well, I really want to encourage people to check out Comrade Detective, watch an episode or two, and I promise you'll be hooked. Comrade Detective is available on Amazon starting Friday, August 4th. Brian Gatewood, Alessandro Tanaco, and Reese Thomas, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks again to Reese Thomas, Brian Gatewood, and Alessandro Tanaka for joining me on the podcast. Comrade Detective is available exclusively on Amazon starting this Friday, August 4th. For more information, visit Amazon.com and search Comrade Detective. Alessandro and Brian are not on Twitter, but you can follow Reese Thomas on Twitter at @ReeseTom2. That's RHYSTHOM, the number 2. Be sure to subscribe to Kick-Ass News on iTunes and leave us a review while you're there. Don't forget to take our listener survey. It only takes 5 minutes at podsurvey.com/kick. You can visit Kick-Ass News on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Kick-Ass News Pod. And be sure to recommend Kick-Ass News to your friends on your social media. And if you really want to help out, then donate to our GoFundMe campaign at gofundme.com/kickassnews or click on the donate button at kickassnews.com. As always, I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, though, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News. Kick-Ass News is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.